I hope you've come prayerfully this morning that the Lord would bless us. I have a lot on my mind. I don't know if the Lord will bless me to be able to, I hope to be able to condense some of the things, but I've had several conversations throughout the week with various ones on the internet and texting and so forth about the term saved, salvation, deliverance, all of these things that's in the, that we look at in the scriptures. The problem that we have in being able to discern and understand these principles is, I think, perhaps the lack of understanding and reading the context in which those verses are found. This morning, I'd like for us to think about the what the Apostle Paul wrote to the young minister Timothy for a place to start this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'll just begin in verse 14. It says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words of to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." When we think about the word of truth, we're speaking about the inspiration of God. We're speaking about the 66 books of the scriptures. We've got 39 in the old and 27 in the new, but the script, it didn't say that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing truth from error. If we understand that, going back over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now, if we stop and think about that word inspiration for a moment, it says all scripture is given by God's inspiration. That means he literally breathed it upon the men of God. And it says over in Peter's writings, it says that the prophecy of the scripture is no private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when we read this book and God's word, we must understand that we're reading the words of God. This is his letter to us. We are his people. Well, and if we continue on if you back up to verse 14 in that third chapter, it says, "Continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Brother Tom mentioned in his prayer that the things that we've learned, we have learned them from the Lord. We can't read the Word of God like we do a novel or some storybook, or it is something that the word study is an interesting term, and the word study is different from just reading. Brother Bill, many times he would say, "You read." And then you close your book and you say, "What did I read?" And you meditate upon on the words. There, the little words are sometimes the ones that cause us the bigger problem. But notice it says, "Continue thou in the things which you have learned." Not only does it doesn't do us any real good in our lives if we just hear the word of God. That's why the little book of James, it says, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers also. So we are to learn these things, but we're to continue in them and following them. And he says, and he goes on, Paul talking to Timothy, he says, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." From a very child. I mean, it's important that we as parents and as grandparents and uncles and aunts, that we teach the young ones in an early age, teaching them. And, when they get past about 13, 14 years old, it gets to the point where it's kind of hard to teach them anything anymore because they already know everything. And You know, parents get a lot smarter as the kids get older. But when you look at this from the standpoint, from a child, from a very young age, he says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make, I want you to notice this, they're able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The word salvation in that text doesn't mean that we can teach, that we can teach our children what to do in order to go to heaven. Salvation, many places in this, and the word, by the way, it means rescued. It means say, it means delivered. It means taken out of a dangerous situation. So when we see the word saved or salvation in Scripture, we need to just stop and think about a moment. What is he speaking about here? Is he speaking about that we can teach our children how to live in life so that they, when they get old and so forth, that they can go to heaven when they die? Is that what this is meaning? You see, the word salvation is, it's a term that must be defined within the context where it's written. And in this sense, he's saying that, that will make you wise unto salvation. We'll get a little bit later into some of these other texts, but this salvation is saving from the things out there in the world. And now notice he says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The scriptures are profitable. They will, and it goes on and it says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The scriptures are able to make you wise, not in order to receive salvation, but they deliver you from the things that you otherwise will get into. But he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The word doctrine in this text means teaching. The scriptures are for teaching. That's what he just said, right? Up above that, he says, these scriptures, you've learned them from a very young age. You've been taught them as children. Now then, as you're getting older, Timothy, you need to follow after the things that you were taught as a child. And he says the scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, which we don't like that sometimes. We don't like to be reproved. We don't like to be corrected. And I've said this about our young children. If a mother, and Jesus uses this same principle, he says, whom the Lord loves, he does what? Chastens them. And if you don't chasten your children, you just let them, okay, I just want to let them do whatever they want to do. We don't want to cause any waves. Sister Heather was talking about how unruly the children are, some of the children down there where she lives. The problem is they haven't been taught how to respect their parents. They haven't been taught what no means. Sometimes no means don't do that anymore. Does that bother you as when God says that? It does me. Because it's contrary. We don't like to be told no. The scriptures are for doctrine, for teaching these young ones, for teaching us as God's little children. He says for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in how to live a godly, righteous life. But now notice as we go on down through that verse, it says, now what is the scriptures for? Who are they for? And what do they do? We've just read that the scriptures are God's word, right? They're given by the inspiration of God. So when we read this, we should say, and I love the Old Testament, it says, thus saith the Lord. We could say that in every one of these places. God is speaking to you through his word. Listen to what he says. And it says that the man of God... The scriptures are to God's people. These words are for our instruction. You can't teach somebody about God. You know, I've taught somebody. I said to somebody the other day, I cannot teach, and neither can any of you teach anybody to know God. I can't teach anybody to know God. God must teach you about himself. When he reveals himself to you, then he gives you the life that you need to be able to understand. He gives you faith. He gives you these understanding, the ability to read his word and to obey it. We have the capacity within us, but the natural man, he doesn't have that capacity. A person that has not been born of God, these scriptures are going to be totally alien to him. That's why he says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God. The scriptures are to God's people. And that the man of God may be perfect, that doesn't mean that you're going to, that you can read these scriptures and eventually you just keep getting better and better and better and better and you will become a sinless creature. That word perfect does not mean without sin. It means growed up. It means perfected. It means complete. It means being able to be an adult. You know, sometimes the little children may be the only adult in the room sometimes. Lorena often says, "Alan, you need to grow up." I said, "I will when I die." I have a lot of critics, and she's one of my best ones. But I'd give her a license to do that. But anyway, the scriptures will not make you sinless. But they will teach you about sin. They will teach you the things that you should not do. And the consequences for you doing those is also very strictly laid out in God's word. Now, so the scriptures teach that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. I'm not here this morning trying to impress you. I am not here this morning trying to make you think I'm somebody that I'm not. If I can impress God with the message I'm trying to bring to you this morning, then I'll be fulfilled, and I will have delivered to you that which I this morning feel the Lord gives me to give to you. I am just an instrument, a message boy. I'm a water boy, if you please, bringing the water, and what you do with it is up to you. You see. So he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There is, do we believe, or is it a possibility that there is some scripture over here in this part of the Bible that says one thing and another scripture over here in this part of the Bible, and they contradict each other? You see, And this is the important part about what I have on my mind this morning. There are scriptures that said, God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. How many times in the scripture do we love Ephesians 2 and 8, don't we? By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Titus chapter 3 verse 5, it says, that he has saved, by his mercy he has saved us and washed us according to, I need to just turn there and read that. I'm getting the two verses mixed up. Titus 3, I want to be able to get the right. You know, when we find these scriptures in alphabetical order, they really are cool. Now, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Now, notice, these are texts that deal with our eternal salvation from sin. Okay? Going to heaven, if you please. Jesus died to take away our sins. He removed all things from us that would hinder us from being in heaven with him. He redeemed us by his blood from sin. Now, those things, that is a done deal. There's nothing that we can do to improve on that. But he says, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Isn't that plain? Not by anything we did. Not by works. Okay. I get it, Brother Allen. Well, do we really? Because it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. This mercy. It's kindness. It's love. It's grace. And we do not deserve one bit of it. And it says in the book of Thessalonians, he has saved us. He has delivered us from the wrath to come. We will not face an eternal wrath because we've been delivered. We've been saved from that. That's another word. When we look at the word saved, it means delivered. It means rescued. It means taken out of harm. When we get to the point where we think that there's, when we see the word saved, and this is a big, big problem out there in the religious world, because they see the word saved and they make it be the same all the way through. And I'll quote Sonny Piles. He said, if you believe that, you're going to be confused as a termite in a yo-yo. I mean, and I'm going to get into some of those this morning, but I want you to see, first of all, there is a salvation that is completed, it's done, it's over, it's finished. There's nothing that can be added to it or taken from it. But there's a salvation in this world that we can be involved in. Okay? Now, I've got a whole list of them, but I don't know if we're going to get to all of them or not. But first, I want to turn over. Now, remember, we're talking about salvation from ungodliness. We're talking about salvation from the things in the world. Did you know it said that we could be saved? We need to be saved, and we are saved every day from something. What God save you? I mean, you say, well, I don't know if he saved me. He might have saved you from having a car wreck. You know, he saved me from that more than once. but sometimes he just saves you and you don't know it. But sometimes he lets you have these real close calls where you'll say, oh my gosh, if it hadn't been for God. But do you understand, brothers and sisters, that he's always watching us, he says the angels of the Lord, they encamp around about us and they, what? They deliver us. They save us. Not eternally. Now, I had a conversation with my natural brother about this very text. And he had been taught, now I'm in Matthew chapter 7, in case you won't know. If you look at these, if you look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7 of the book, and if you have a red letter, it's almost the entire 5, 6, and 7 is all the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He said you notice what he does in chapter 5, I'll just read the very first verse, and seeing the multitudes, verse 5 to verse 1. He went up into the mountains, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying. And he goes on, and there is wonderful, wonderful teachings about it. But very, very few of these teachings have to do with our eternal salvation. Very few of them. He wants us to be able to have joy in the kingdom. Now, I want to read verses 13 and 14, and maybe 15. But this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Who's a disciple? You are. He had 12 apostles. They were disciples. The word disciple means a pupil. We are pupils. We're learners. We're not professors. We're not somebody that doesn't need to learn something else. Have you got it all down, Pat? You know, I've been trying to do this, Sister Levine, for almost 40 years. This is my 40th year. And I ain't got it right yet. I'm still learning. I am, and when you quit learning, when you get all this figured out and you quit learning, you're about ready to be put in the ground. We need to learn something every day. Something new about God. But you're not going to learn it. You can't just put this Bible on your pillow and sleep on it and say, well, Lord, we can get this by osmosis. It don't work that way. It says study. Study. You can't study the Word of God if you don't read it. You need to read it and then study it. But what we need to do is remember that the words that's in this book are to you, God's people. Your instruction. This book, and this is why Jesus, he looked at these people out here. He said, search the scriptures. Look, search the scriptures. In them, you think you have eternal life in the scriptures, but you don't. This is not a road book to heaven. It's a road book to our life. It's a book that teaches us how to live our lives. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But those scriptures, and he's speaking of the Old Testament, are those which testify of me. And he said those in Berea, he said, be a Berean. He said, those that were in Berea, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily. This is your responsibility. I mean, you got up here and preach something that's completely off the wall. And if you haven't been reading your Bible, this is the problem. People need to understand that I'm here as an instrument of God, but it's your responsibility to make sure that I'm preaching what's true. Now, that's another point. What is truth? What is truth? He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, that he workman and that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, you say, well, truth is whatever, truth relative. No, it isn't. Truth is the same as Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what truth is. If it was true yesterday, it'll be true today. And if it's true today, it'll be true tomorrow. Truth doesn't change. We need to understand that, especially this truth. This is inspired of God. And by the way, he's not going to tell us over in this portion of the Bible to do one thing and over here and contradict it over here. You see, there is no contradiction in the Word of God. How would he contradict himself? If he wrote all 66 books and he wrote something over here, that's one thing about God. He is consistent. And you know, one thing about the thing I've found about the old Baptists more than anything is their inconsistency. Brother Bill said, you don't know much Shakespeare, but he said one point, he said, I always do. He said, oh, consistency, thou art a jewel. Oh, consistency. Consistency is what God is. And we need to learn to be consistent in our walk. Now notice, I've already chased a rabbit. I need to get back to the text where I wanted to read to you. Notice what it says. Now he's talking to us, me and you. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That word straight, Mick, is not like a straight line, but it is S-T-R-A-I-T. That means like the Strait of Gibraltar. It's a very narrow space. And I've talked to you about this before. How many of us? I mean, we all know what a funnel is, right? On the one end of that, it's really small. On the other end, it's really big. And did you ever try to put sugar or salt or something in a shaker or whatever, and try to pour it into the little hole? It's just going to make a big mess. So a funnel, and that's it. I want us to think about this as when we're thinking about this text. But straight is the gate, and narrow is, straight, enter ye in at the straight gate. That means the narrow way. For straight is the gate, and narrow, and I'm going to get it right in a minute. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. Wide is the gate. This is the big end of the funnel. Okay? The big end. Wide gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Now I want you to apply that if you can, if you will, if you want to. It's not the correct way. But my brother, he and I got into a big discussion about this. I said, do you think that's talking about going into eternal heaven? He said, well, of course. I said, well, then there's going to be more in hell than there is in heaven. But I can take you over to the book of Revelations where it says there that there is a great multitude out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And he says, thousands times ten thousands and thousands and thousands of thousands. It's a number which no man can number, more than the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. Now, how do you get a few into that? This text has absolutely zero to do with your eternal life. Zero. But it has a lot to do with our life, how we walk, and how we have fellowship in the kingdom of God. That's what this is speaking of. It's not talking about going to heaven. It's talking about going into the kingdom of heaven. Now notice he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. Think about the broad way out here. That's the world out there. Jesus says, In his prayer, and I tried to preach about that a time or two ago. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That word deliver, Brother Tom, we could say save us from evil. That's what it means. Deliver us from the evil. And the broad way out there in the world, it's just as easy. I mean, it's real easy. It's as easy as, yeah, there's hardly takes any effort whatsoever to pour sugar into the big hole. Real easy. Try to pour it down in that other way and see how difficult it is. And that's what he's talking about here. It's very hard. And that's what the word means. It means difficult to enter in to this narrow way. But this narrow way is what leads to life, not eternal life. You've already got eternal life. You already have eternal life. We're not just talking about getting eternal. We're talking about having a life here. You just turn over to the same book in Matthew 16. I want to get verse 25. He gives us a little better understanding about this. Jesus said unto his disciples, same group of people, if any man will come after me, any man will come after me. Let him deny himself. Deny, you know, that's hard. You ever try to do that? It's a full-time 24-hour job. I can deny you real easy. I just ignore you. I just deny you. But try to do that about yourself. Try to deny yourself. We love ourselves. Don't tell me you don't. But it says, if any man will come after me, what's he talking about coming after me? To get eternal life? No. He's talking about getting into the narrow way. Getting into this way which leads to the abundant life of God in the kingdom of God. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Sister Lavina, the other day I was trying to think of this. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? That's what I was trying to think of the other day, and I couldn't. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Jesus bore his cross. Now, what's our cross? It's taking up our cross. There is a cross the cross is between our flesh and our spirit. We're in a continual warfare. We want this and we want that and we want this and we want that. But Jesus says we're to deny ourselves those things every one of us has more blessings than we could ever count in a million years. But there's some things that we need to say no to. We don't like that. I know you don't like that, and I don't like it either. But sometimes it just, you know, they used to have this drug program out, and it says, just say no. 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 Saying no to your flesh, it's hard. But that's what Jesus said. If you want to walk in the kingdom, if you want to enter in to the straight and narrow way, you've got to deny yourself. You got to take up the cross. Now, taking up the cross, what does that mean? Well, a cross, if we just simply look at a cross is two ways, one going this way and the other going this way, right? You can't have a cross. If you got two bars laid down side by side, those are parallels. But a cross is where two parallel lines cross each other. Right in the middle where those two cross is your cross. Where those two cross is where the flesh wants to do one thing and the spirit says to do another. You know, you say, people get, I got somebody over here on this shoulder and there's over this shoulder. And I've heard old brethren say, well, it's like I've got two dogs inside of me. You've heard the story. I've got two dogs inside of me. One wants to do this, and they're always fighting each other. They say, well, which one of them wins? He said, whichever one you say sick them to. Whichever one you say sick them to, whether it's the black dog or the white dog, and I mean no reflection on anybody from a standpoint, but there he's just identifying sin, the way that we're to walk. And there's a lot of, it's easy. You don't have to put in any effort whatsoever to go into that broad way. Just be yourself. Just be what you do. Just be what you want to do all the time. And you're going to find yourselves in a sad, despicable condition. Now notice what Jesus says. This is a word in here, Brother Tom, I want to get. Whosoever will save his life. Does that mean save my life so I can be in heaven? That doesn't mean that. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What are you going to lose? If you save your life, now I want you to get this really. He's talking about entering in, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. He said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What life are you going to lose? Whosoever will save his life in this world, whosoever will follow after the things that you want to do, save your life in out here in your activities and your fun and all the things you want to do, you save that life or you're going to lose this life. That's what he's talking about. You're going to lose your life, your joy, your peace in the Holy Ghost. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life out there in the world, the broad way, whosoever will lose his life for my sake. Isn't that plain? Whosoever will lose his life out there for me shall find his life. His life in the kingdom. For what is a man profited? Now I want you to think about this very, 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 pay attention. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? I didn't think you could lose your soul. We're not talking about losing your eternal life. We're talking about losing your joy in the kingdom of God. He says here, what is a man profit? It shall gain the whole world and lose his soul. We can sell our life in the kingdom for things out there. You're going to save that, but you're going to lose this. A man can't serve two masters, Jesus said. You're either going to love one or you're going to hate the other. I'm just bringing you the message. Don't get mad at me. This is what the Lord put on my heart to bring. We, as God's children, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are responsible not only for me, and I'm responsible for you. You say, well, how's that, brother? Because it says if we see our brother do a sin and we just let him go, he said, if you love him, you're going to tell him he's going wrong. What will a man, now this is a question. That was a question too. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Would you sell it for a couple thousand, 2 or 3 million? What did you sell? How much is it worth to you? How much is that pearl of great price that the man saw in the field and he bought the whole field just to get that one thing? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We're not talking about your eternal soul. You can't lose that. You have eternal life living inside of you. I think sometimes we forget what eternal means. Eternal cannot end. Jesus said, I give unto you eternal life, and ye shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all. You can't lose your eternal salvation. But you can lose your salvation here by walking in the ways of the world and following after the things that you want more than what Jesus wants. Is that plain? Not. For the Son of Man, now I want to go to one more point. Now, you say, brother, that's all fine good. Let's go over to the Old Testament, and we're going to close here in a little while. Notice, and I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 30, this principle that I've been trying to teach here this morning is set forth time and time again in the Old Testament principles. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, think about this. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. This is our responsibility. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have the responsibility to love Him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Brother, can you do that? Not all the time. We have no excuse. He's given His word. He said, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, this is God's commandment, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, that thou mayest live, listen, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess. But if thine heart turn away, you're talking about your heart. Jesus wants your heart. If thine heart turn away, so that thou will not hear. You know, sometimes they say, I know what it says, but I don't want to hear it. It's like we put our hands over. Yeah, I know that's that, but I don't really want to do it. Well, your choice. You can do it or not do it. You can do it or not do it. It's up to you. But if thine heart turn away so that thou will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, other gods, I'm talking about things out there. What is a god? An idol. It's anything that comes between you and your service to God. It can be your job. It can be your entertainment. It can be your family. It can be anything that is more important to you than serving God. So you say, but now that's in the Old Testament. Yes, it is. But the New Testament principle I've just been reading to you. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Uh-oh. You mean we're going to go to hell? This is the same principle as Matthew 5:13. It says, there is a way which leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. I denounce you this day that ye shall surely perish, and ye shall not prolong, listen, you shall not prolong your days upon the earth or on the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Now, Jordan, crossing over Jordan, is a beautiful picture of crossing into that promised land. It's not heaven. Now, I mean, crossing over Jordan, I mean, we said you don't have to cross Jordan alone, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of songs that we sing sometimes that give the wrong implication about Canaan's land. Canaan's land is a picture of entering into the New Testament church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to cross over Jordan and enter into that kingdom. Now you can live over here on the outside, or you can cross over and follow after the Lord into the kingdom. And that's what he's speaking of here. Now notice he said, this is pretty powerful. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Life, death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, and this is the way he said, I mean, this is a beautiful point. Now listen. Therefore, choose life. Are you going to choose life? You know what people say, well, and I've heard this, and you have too. They paint this picture of this big old huge burning furnace out here. And they say, and they apply these principles right here to going to heaven, to being saved from hell. This has nothing to do with going to hell, but it has a lot to do with going into the kingdom and walking in the peace and the joy and the righteousness of God, in the Spirit of God, in the kingdom of God. That going over Jordan, there was a lot of battles they had to fight after they got over there. And by the way, Moses didn't even get to go in. We could put this out, this choose life. I like that, Mick, because I choose life over the death of these little babies, don't you? We're pro-life, aren't we? We're pro-life. I choose life rather than that. This is a different life. This is a life in the kingdom of God, serving Him with joy in your soul. You say, Brother Allen, you don't need to tell me all that. I already know all that. Well then, duh. I call heaven and earth to record this day against thee. I have set before thee death and blessing, cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou, you see, this is not, what you, the choices you make today don't just affect you. They affect these young children and all those that are following after us. We have examples to set. He says, choose life, that both that thou and thy seed may live. Choose life. There's a death that we can die, brothers and sisters, to the joys of the kingdom of God. And it is a death worse than natural death. When you talk about being separated from the fellowship of God and walking along and thinking that you're, I mean, there is a sense in which Peter says, he said, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. You can walk in such a way, brothers and sisters, that you'll forget you're even a child of God. You say, well, I hope I never get there. I hope you don't too. Now notice, that was a colon after that word life. He said that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. Let me repeat that. God is our life. There is no life outside of him, naturally or spiritually. He's the giver of all life. And he says, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. You know, there's a commandment that said it is the first commandment with promise. You know what that is, children? Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. Because it's the first commandment with promise, that your days may be prolonged on the earth. Your parents know more than you do. You may not think they do, but they do. And God has given them to you to teach you. But he says, the length of thy days, that thou may dwellest in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The land. Shall I go on? She says no. I mean, brothers and sisters, there are so many of these verses. I want to give you just one or two more, okay? He says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, I thought you said it was by grace. I thought you said we're saved by grace and not by works. This is talking about works. This is talking about doing some things. If we find a verse of scripture that teaches us that if there's anything tied to it that you've got to do, it's not talking about heaven. Just put that down in your little book. It's talking about your life here. He says, work out. How are we going to do that? Can you work out something that hadn't been worked in? No. God worked it in you, and then it's now up to us to work it out. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You couldn't do it if God hadn't already put it in there. But we have responsibilities, not only to our community, we have responsibilities to each other, we have responsibilities to God to be here when the door opens and there's a lot of empty seats here this morning. I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody, but I'm just saying, brothers and sisters, we should have this building should be full, but it's not. I'm not talking just about numbers. I'm talking about growing in grace and the knowledge of the truth. Now here's one more, and I'll close with this one. Paul told Timothy, till I come. He said he's wanting to go see him. He said, I have a great desire to be with you, Timothy. He said, but till I come, give attendance to reading. That's good, isn't it? Reading. Sometimes we can't read because our eyes are not too good. But he says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. What's that? Encouragement. Encouraging everyone. Somebody's down, encourage them. Give attendance to exhortation and to doctrine. Doctrine. But some people don't want anything to do with doctrine. I just want to talk about the love, and I want to talk about Jesus, and I want to talk about all this stuff. But I don't want no doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the presbyter with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. Meditate upon these things. Meditate. You know, that's important. Sometimes I fill my brain with all kinds of stuff during the day, and then when I get down on my lay down on my bed, I want to think about Jesus, but my brain is too tired, and I just can't think of anything. The best time to meditate, the best time to is when in the morning, when your life is fresh. Meditate upon these things. Now notice this, give yourself wholly to them. That means completely, totally. That they may, that thy profiting may be to all. Now, this is the verse I wanted to get to. Take heed unto yourself. That's the number one thing. I need to take heed to me. I need to, I have a full-time job just keeping me in the narrow way. And I can't do it for you. You've got to do it. That's why he says, your choice. It's your choice. This is God's word, and what you do with it, it's up to you. But there's consequences. There's joy in doing it, and there's consequences in not. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Now this is my last point. I promise. For in doing this, in doing these things, thou shalt both save yourself and them that hear you. There's a sense in that you can save your brother. You can save. First of all, he said, save yourself. We got to save ourselves first. I can't save you, Brother Tom, if I didn't save myself first. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. In both doing this, you may save yourself and them that you're teaching. So, look after each other, love one another, keep each other, and most of all, encourage each other. Jesus loves you all, and I love you all. This may not have been a Christmas story this morning, but I hope you understand how much I love you. And the things that I've thought so much about, the life that I've had, the blessings that I've had in being associated with this church, 57 years. I'm not that old. You just figure that out. I started coming up here when I was dating my wife. Got a job before we ever got married. But I came to this church and I put my membership in here because I knew I was going to marry her one day. God has blessed us with 56 years of marriage. And I believe that we are here today because of God and the influence that I have had upon me by you in this church. So we're family. We need to love each other. But there's people out there, I believe, that if we would just encourage them to come. I know that these scriptures that I'm talking about, there's only in right down the road down here, they're teaching right now that there's only one salvation in the Bible, and it's eternal. All of these scriptures I've been reading to you, they apply eternally. Save yourself eternally. Straight and walk in the narrow way in order for you to not go to hell. The choice is yours today. Choose today. Choose life or death. Choose whether you want to go to heaven or choose whether you want to go to hell. That's been taught, but that has absolutely nothing to do with these texts I've been reading to you this morning. Zero. Zero. They have everything in the world to do with how we conduct our lives, how we find ourselves in walking in fellowship with Jesus. May God bless you this morning is our prayer.